Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Long COVID has introduced a whole new group of people to the experience of chronic fatigue. So on the line now is Lydia Rolley, who has a better idea than most about what they are going through. Lydia has written the fatigue book and is here now to share some of her story and tips for recovery. Lydia, good morning.
Good morning, Jen. Hi, good to speak to you. Thank you for having me.
Lydia, will you give me an idea of how common chronic fatigue is and long COVID-based fatigue is?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting a bit crazy these days, you know, since COVID. I mean, the numbers for long COVID have just gone through the roof, really. I think here in the UK, it's something like 1 million people were suffering from long COVID in March 21. And then last month, the figures rose to 2.3 million. So, I mean, that's like more than doubled, you know. I think something like 3.5% of the population are suffering with long COVID. And that's just crazy, really. Massive figures, really.
Can you tell me a little of your own experience of how chronic fatigue became just part of your own life and the mm-hmm. lack of direction you face in trying to deal with it?
Yeah. So I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome back in the 90s. So I was 39 years old at the time. I had four small kids. I had a busy life, worked part-time, busy life. And then I basically got diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome following glandular fever. I'd had endless viruses and just couldn't kind of get better. And I got this diagnosis. And back then in the late 90s, there was literally no help at all. So, you know, it was almost like being given a bit of a life sentence. You know, here you are, you've had glandular fever and now you've got chronic fatigue. So, you know, get on with it kind of thing. And it was kind of shocking because I was already a therapist at the time. You know, I was an occupational therapist. I had a lot of experience with rehab, but I just could not fix this horrendous fatigue, which, you know, as people who have, anybody of you listeners who's experiencing this kind of fatigue, you know, it's so different from tiredness. It's not just tiredness that you can go to sleep and recover from. You know, it's this profound fatigue that just affects every aspect of your life and daily functioning. So, yeah, so back then for me, it was horrendous, you know, not being able to get any help or not being able to understand, especially like the headache. I had constant headaches and constant forgetting things and people call it brain fog now, and it's that idea of just being completely muzzy in your head and not being able to concentrate or take in information and so on. It was pretty horrendous, Jen.
So eventually you were diagnosed, but your recovery took time. And I want to talk about the recovery because people need to understand that this is a part of your life. It's not your life, so to speak. But your recovery mm-hmm. time, how long did it take you to realize that you had to prioritize health over social and, mm-hmm. and work and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think for me, it took me about 2 years to just try and survive.
Wow.
And it was, you know, literally 2 years of booming and busting, of having a bit of a good day, ending up doing too much and then crashing again, that kind of pattern. And then I read something. Somebody shared a book with me, and it was about somebody's story with chronic fatigue and how they had learned to sort of manage their activities and put breaks in their activities. And so I began to think, okay, I can do this. You know, I was desperate to try anything, to be quite honest. I can do this. But it really did take that sort of prioritizing me as opposed to, you know, my family or my work or my friends or whatever. It actually meant I really had to stop and think, okay, what is best for me? How do I get, how do I recover? And actually, it gave me a bit of hope that recovery was possible. And I think that's what people often need to know, that actually recovery is possible. Some people can feel like, oh, gosh, they've got this, you know, they've got this for life, or this is the way they're always going to feel. But actually, for me personally, just recognizing that actually if I can work on my sleep and get into a healthy sleep pattern, if I can work on balancing my activities and my energy and doing things in small chunks, so little by little, and it was literally little by little. And I would say, Jen, for me, it was 6 years in total, to be honest, before I could really say I'm healthy and I'm better now, and having chronic fatigue is a thing of the past. So, you know, for me, I took the long way round. Not everybody needs to take the long way round nowadays. There is help out there, and there is advice out there, and there are things that we know, you know, do help manage that chronic fatigue. But, you know, it was horrendous.
2 years, though. I'm stuck on the 2 years thing, because obviously you were diagnosed. And so what was your doctor telling you to do? To try and figure out your rhythm, and then you had to go off yourself and do it? Was that basically
No. My doctor, the doctors at the time, I went to see an immunologist and got, you know, diagnosed. So it's really important for people to get a full range of blood tests to make sure, you know, there's no other cause for the tiredness, because there are other causes for tiredness, as we know, like, you know, vitamin deficiency, sure, or iron deficiency, etc. So to have that medical overview. But the only advice I was given, and this may sound crazy now, the only advice I was given, I asked the consultant, I'm really struggling to think straight. I'm really struggling to remember what is going on in my brain. You know, what can I do? And the one advice he gave me, a bit of advice, was he said, well, go home and get out a phone book. It was back in the day when we used to have phone directories, you know. Mm-hmm. Get out your phone book and start to memorize some of the numbers and see how you get on. Okay, so that was my advice. That was my therapy. And it was like, there is no way I'm going to do that. There's no way. You know, I went home so cross from that consultation and so despairing, like, if that is the only treatment I'm offered, how on earth, you know, am I going to get well? And to be honest, that has really shaped me as a therapist. It's really shaped me in terms of how can we provide the best care we can for people? How can we really listen to what people need and try and work out a solution that works for them, you know?
So is everybody's prescription different, or is there a formula, like, if you get diagnosed or you think you have lung fatigue, you need to have a balanced life, you need to look after your diet, all that kind of stuff? That what it is?
Yeah, so there is certainly those things, definitely having a balanced life, having a healthy diet, trying to get into a good sleep routine. I think what happens when people are diagnosed is it's survival initially, because it's you know, you're just struggling to survive. And people can sometimes get into the habit of, you know, resting too much. You need healthy rest. You definitely need rest to recover from this. But sometimes that can, like, knock you into unbalanced sleep, you know, sleeping too much in the day and then not being able to sleep at night, etc. So I think there is a prescription of tips that are useful for everybody, but I also think one size doesn't fit all. Everybody's story is different and everybody's story is unique. And that's why in the book I put a range of tips. There's 100 tips in the book, which may sound an awful lot, but there's 100 tips so that people can actually concentrate on the bits that are most pressing for them. You know, they can, if it's to do with sleep, they can look at those tips. If it's to do with energy, they can look at those tips. If it's to do with brain fog and struggling, they can look at those tips. But I'd say the general advice is pacing is what we would say would be the medicine. And that's the thing I've seen help most people. And pacing is about balancing your energy and your activities. And it's about doing things in very, very small chunks, you know, tiny chunks. And having a break, tiny chunk, having a break.
Would you say journaling or keeping a diary is important to figure out where your triggers are, where your moments of you're feeling most fatigue are? Would you say doing that would be an important aspect?
Yeah. So for some people, they find that really helpful. For other people, it's the last thing they want to do, because that in itself can take, you know, energy doing it.
Yeah.
You know? So what I've got in the book is what we say activity diary. And it's literally just a plan of the week. And sometimes it's really good to look back on the last 2 weeks and see what activities you've done and how that's affected you. Because sometimes you can't even think what I did yesterday, let alone, you know, the week before. And often it's that process of reflecting and looking back and realizing, oh, okay, I did that too much then, and then I ended up being ill for a couple of days. You know, it could be something as simple as, I don't know, working on the computer for an hour and a half, and then you end up being really ill for a couple of days afterwards. So it's sometimes identifying, okay, I did that too much. How can I chunk that? How can I do that? How can I spread that out a bit more so that I'm not going to have the after effect? And this is like, it sounds very limiting, you know, but in some ways it's limiting just for a season. It's just for a period in time where you have to really prioritize your energy levels.
And that's important, isn't it, Lydia? Sorry to cut you off there, because you've mentioned it twice now. And you did work in the NHS to help people in the same situation as yourself. But why is it important for people to know that this is a period of their life, not the permanent situation?
I think you have to have hope that this is going to get better. You know, you have to have hope this is going to get better, because it does cause havoc in somebody's life and somebody's home. And, you know, to actually, what nobody can say is how long is this period going to last for? But we do know, and I have seen with countless people, you know, Jen, over the years, countless people, when they prioritize their health, when they prioritize their energy, when they prioritize, you know, healthy rest, they do get better and they do make steps to get better. So, you know, it can feel like this is going to go on forever and ever, and it is a season. And I think having that hope, listening to positive stories on the internet, you know, there's some great stories out there of people who have recovered and things they have found helpful, is crucial. Because I think if somebody has to prove that they're ill, if, you know, if there isn't the understanding around them, of people around them, if they have to prove they're ill, it's going to be really hard to get better. So it's really important to be around people who are supportive and people who are understanding, and people who can sometimes hold that hope for you, you know, when you're struggling in the day and don't feel that hopeful. It's just people around you who can help and encourage.
And don't brush it off as well. Women are terrible for brushing it off and masking the problems and going, oh, it's just a bit of a headache. Oh, my memory. Oh, brain fog. Yeah. Don't brush these things off, because there's a reason. And finding out the reason is really, really important. Lydia, thank you so much for joining me today. Really, really interesting stuff. And I wish you the very, very best of luck with the book. And just to mention it again, it is called The Fatigue Book. It's Chronic Fatigue Syndrome and Long COVID Fatigue: Practical Tips for Recovery. The author is Lydia Raleigh. I want to thank her again for joining me on the show today. The book is out now, and we'll be back right after this.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.